So I watched Mean Girls the other day, and it was great, like always. Has this crazy high school experience. If you haven't watched Mean Girls, put your hands up just so I... Really? You have not watched Mean Girls? Okay, yeah, perfect. You might not want to, but I'll tell you what happens. So there is... It's in a high school. There's a high school experience. There is... So the main character is Katie Herron. I know it so well that I could pretty much reenact the movie. I could write the script for you if you'd like. So Katie Herron just moved from South Africa to America. Big move. And she has been homeschooled her whole life. Some of us in this room would definitely know what that feels like. When you interact with a bigger society, you know, it's a little different. So she goes into this massive high school, starting off, I think it was like her grade 11 year, which would be insane, just being homeschooled the whole time. And then you go to like a new city, you're in a high school. And she meets all these girls, and there's all these little cliques that she meets. So there's Janice Ian, who's like this rock-on girl who just does not care about anything. She's just super chill, and she's super artsy, and she just like clicks, nah, I don't want to be in a clique. I'm just like my own person. And she meets Regina George, who's like this mean, cool girl who actually really likes Katie. So she ends up being best friends, and then they end up being in the Plastics, which I think we've all had that... Oh, I wear pink on Wednesday. Have you heard that at least? Wear pink on Wednesdays? No. Oh, on Wednesdays? Okay, sounds good. So there's all these rules, like you can only wear a ponytail once a week. You have to wear pink on Wednesdays. And it's like, I wear a ponytail whenever I want to wear a ponytail. I couldn't remember if I had to wear it every Tuesday. Like that would be a lot of work to fit into this social clique. But she does it, and the Plastics kind of rule the school, so if you're not in the Plastics, you're pretty much a nerd. And then they have all these seats in the cafeteria, so I think we kind of seen this in our high school experience, where it's like, you sit here, other people sit here, and if you sit together, the whole world is over. Like, you are done. You cannot communicate with the person who does your math homework. So we're going to dive into the scripture now. So we're going to start with Acts 10, 1 to 32. And I have a lot more scripture, but I'm going to save you because it's really boring to read all of it. So I just picked the good parts. So what's kind of happening before this is Peter, Apostle Peter, we all know who Peter is, coolest person ever. He was apostle, he walked with Jesus, he did all these cool things that we all wish we could do. So Peter just raised this lady Tabitha from the dead, which is super cool. I wish that could happen nowadays because that is amazing, and it still can. But that's what happens, and that's what they're talking about, and then it kind of jumps into this. So in Caesarea, there lived a Roman officer named Cornelius. I love saying that. Cornelius! It was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. So as I read this next part, imagine you're watching Grease and it's the beauty school dropout part, okay? So Cornelius, the angel said, and Cornelius was so startled and stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on a flat roof to pray. It was about noon and he was hungry, but while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles and birds. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. No, Lord, Peter declared, I have never eaten anything our Jewish law has declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke again, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. The same vision was repeated 3 times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could this vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them." I'd be so scared. It's like, I have to go with these three guys. I don't know. Like, where are we going? So Peter went down and said, "I am the man you are looking for. Why have you come?" They said, "We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man, well respected by all Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to this house so that you can hear his message." So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close family friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up. I am a human being just like you." So they walked together and went inside, where many of the others were assembled. Peter told them, "You know it is against our law for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you were sent for me." Cornelius said, "Four days ago, I was praying in my house about the same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, 'Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner who lived near the seashore. So I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here, waiting before God to hear the message that the Lord has given you." Then Peter replied, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." So that's a lot, but I promise you, I cut it down a lot. You would have been here for a lot longer. So Cornelius is this, imagine him. He would have been those guys. Have you seen Spartan movies, you know, when they're wearing those big chest plates and those big red mohawks? You've seen that before. So that would be what Cornelius would be wearing, and that's what he would look like. And he had about 100 soldiers that he would rule and that he would take with him, that would be with him all the time. So he's a pretty influential guy, if you think about it. He has a big hold over 100 people, which is a lot more than I think some of us do, you know? Like 100 people, that's a lot of people. And then Peter is this apostle. He's a great guy, too. He walked with Jesus. So they're both very influential men. The only difference between them is Cornelius was a Gentile and Peter was a Jew. And they could not associate. It was against the law for them to even, like, eat together, for them to talk together, for them to walk together. They were not allowed to be friends at all. They even lived so far away. There's obviously a reason for that, too, because they cannot communicate. They cannot associate. And kind of going back into Mean Girls, it's like, you cannot associate with different tables. It's something that still happens today, you know? We still have those massive social circles. And it's kind of like, the Jews looked at Cornelius and saw him as unclean and a pagan. And he was such a God-fearing man and such a God-trusting man. But they looked at him and was like, you know, he's unclean. He's a pagan. He doesn't believe in God. Like, he's nothing. Pretty much. And Cornelius would have never fit in with them. He would have never been able to talk to them about God, learn more about God, nothing. But he was a giant teddy bear, this massive dude who was so nice and so good to the poor and just did all these great things. I think we all know someone like that, that you're like, oh yeah, you know what? He does great things, but I can't communicate with him. Are you kidding? Why would I communicate with him? But he's such a great dude. But no, I can't do that. We all do it. I'm super guilty of it, too. You see someone on the street, like, even being downtown, we spend about 2 days downtown interning, and you see people that walk by, and you kind of get scared. We lock the door, and it's so bad. But it's what we do. It's who we are. It's what we do. We see people, and we get so scared. But what are they going to do? They're walking by. They got a place to go. Their day isn't going to be based around interrupting you or judging you or getting mad at you or yelling in your face. They might ask you for 40 cents, but that's about all they'll do. And we all are so guilty of this. But I love how they say, and they make this super clear, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. That is such a big part. This whole scripture is so long. That shows its importance. They made, it's like about 4 pages of the Bible. And it's 3 chapters just on this one thing. That's how important it is. It's super important. This was a groundbreaking moment. The Jews and the Gentiles can finally associate. Like, if that didn't happen, us today, would any of us be Christians? No. None of us would be Christians. We wouldn't know who God was. God's for the Jews. Who's Jew? We all wouldn't fit into that category. But now, since this happened, we can be Christians. This was so groundbreaking. This was a law. They would have got killed for this, for what they did. Literally, killed. That's insane. But they trusted in God, and Peter got this crazy vision, which I think if I got, I'd be terrified. It's like, he's like, eat the reptiles. Peter's like, no, I don't want to eat the reptiles. That would be intense. So he had no idea what that meant. He's like, oh, does this mean, can I have crocodile now? I've actually had crocodile. It's really good if anyone wants to try it one time. It tastes like lobster. It's really good. So yeah, and then he finds out that it's that he's allowed to associate and preach the Gentiles. So their church grew, their community grew. They could do all these great things. And finally, the Gentiles felt loved. You know, could you imagine not being able to feel loved because you were on the outside all the time? That you could never be in the inside because of literally the only reason is because they were uncircumcised and they were Gentile. That's it. Other than that, they're all human. They're all God's children. Because of those two things, they weren't allowed, and they weren't unbaptized as well. They were not allowed to communicate. They weren't allowed to go to these churches. And my favorite part that is in the end of this is that, where was I going with that? I get distracted. I was distracted by Lori's iPad. It's okay. No worries, Lori. My favorite part about all of this is that they would trust it in God so hard. They're like, yeah, you know what? God's going to bring us. I'm going to go with these weird men. I don't know where we're going. I'm going to go into this house full of Gentiles, being the only Jew. Who knows what's going to happen? Seriously, I'd be terrified. I'd be like, I'm not allowed to communicate with them, and I'm going into a whole house full of them? But Cornelius just, like, worshiped Peter. He's like, Peter, and got down on his knees, and Peter is like, no, I am only a man just like you. And it just shows such love for each other, such love for God, such love for themselves. You know, they just trusted, they believed, they went through it. And now they can just feel this sense of love. Like, I feel like this verse, these chapters are more about love than anything. Loving your neighbor, loving yourself. And sometimes we forget that we are loved by God. Sometimes we forget that we are all children of God, that everyone's a child of God. Everyone can know God. Everyone can have that encounter with God. Everyone can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Anyone. Those people that you look at and you're like, there's no way. You know, I know what she used to do. I used to be one of those people that people would look at. And they'd be like, oh, I know what you used to do. You definitely aren't a Christian. You can never be a Christian. Are you kidding? I know what you do. We had this, I used to go out and party and drink a lot and had a lot of boyfriends at one point and just all these things. And I kind of made a really bad name for myself. And Medicine Hat's so small that one person knows and then Medicine Hat knows pretty much. Well, especially in your age category kind of thing. So that happened. And then how can I be Christian? How can God love me with all of what I've done? And I think we all think that sometimes. Like, how can God love you with what you've done, with what you've been doing, with the things you're mistaking on and the sins you're making? But God still loves you. God loves all of us. God loves everyone. And we're going to do something super silly, because I love doing silly things. Can everyone just say out loud, God loves me? And God, look at someone and say, God loves you. Because sometimes we need a reminder that God loves you. God loves the people sitting next to you. God loves the people that you work with. God loves you. Say it again. God loves me. Super weird, but we need to say it again. God loves me. Because you know what? This might be the first time someone's ever said that out loud in this room. It's something we don't really say out loud. We just know. How many times do you go like, oh, God loves me? Not very many. I don't think, personally, for me, I don't say that very much out loud. I just think, oh, I know that. But do I know it? If you can't say it out loud, you can't tell someone else. Do you really know it? I think it's important to definitely say it to other people, too. And just to break those social circles that we have in our society. Can I get the band to come up when you're ready? It's crazy how it's still happening. There's still this separation after this massive thing happened where the Jews and the Gentiles could connect. That there's this massive separation between different groups. There might be little groups, but you still look at people and you're like, no way. Can you play Fill Me Up, please? Thank you. It's just crazy. And how some people don't know that God loves them. Like, I think that's so sad. Like, they just don't know. They don't know who God is. They don't know if God loves them. If you tell someone that, that might be the first time they've ever heard it too. You know, I wish someone told me that. That's why I say this. I wish when I was growing up that I was told that. And if I was told that on the regular, like, I think I see parents in church here and, like, Amberly with her kids and how she tells them constantly, like, God loves you. Like, we're so grateful for you. Like, we're so blessed. And she tells her kids that. Like, that's so crucial. It sounds so silly. You're like, oh, yeah, it's a cute thing to say. But no, it's so crucial. So important. I wrote some notes here when we're doing worship that I really felt. Kind of when Allison was talking about worrying. How many times do we worry if someone loves us still? Someone cares for us. How many times do we worry if God still loves us? When we're doing something we know we shouldn't or something we feel convicted about, do we sit there? We do. I do it. If I do it, someone else has to do it too. We sit there and we're like, ooh, does God still love me? Like, God's probably watching right now. Like, oh no. You know, we all do that. We let it get in our head. We let it destroy us. We're so bad at just letting things take over our brain and just embed itself in there. And once it's in there, that's what you think about. It crosses your mind constantly. You're walking down the street and you're like, oh, does God love me? Does my husband still love me? Does my boyfriend, does my girlfriend still love me? Do my kids still love me? Like, I was super mean to them the other day. Like, I told them to clean their room. They're probably mad. She told me, I don't love you anymore. Slammed the door and ran away. I've done it so many times. I feel so bad for my mom. You know, I do love her. And sometimes we think, how can anybody love me when I'm so unclean? I'm so unclean. I'm not clean at all. You know, I think of those people that have gone through all those things that are still struggling with them. We're all struggling with things that make us feel like we're unclean. You're clean. God has made you clean. You don't need to worry. You are so clean. Even if you didn't shower, you're still clean, I promise. So just know that God can accept you and love you even though you're different. I'm kind of a nerd. And you know what? God still loves me. God, like Michael said, God uses our little nerdy things we do to worship him. Like sometimes I think I'm just making weird signs and everyone's like, oh, I have to sit in that seat. God loves it. God loves when you sit in that seat. You know, he loves those signs. That's how I worship him. That we all have these weird ways. We all have these weird things we do. We're such weird creatures. But I want everyone to close their eyes and bow your heads, please. If I can get the lights dimmed in here as well. So I just want us to think. Think about our lives. Think about where we are. Think about where we're sitting, where we're standing right now. Does anyone feel like you're missing a little something? Like maybe you're missing a little bit of God's love in your heart. Maybe you're missing that feeling, that incredible feeling like someone's hugging you. That incredible feeling of love that just flushes over you and you kind of want to cry because it's so nice. that amazing feeling and spirit of God. And if you are, I just want you to flash your hand up quick. If you feel like you're a little bit missing, you need a little bit more of that love. You need someone to tell you that they love them, that they love you. I just want you to flash your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Just remember, God loves you. I just want to pray for the people who put their hands up. And even if you didn't, it's okay. Just listen to. So, Father God, I thank you that you put everyone in this room today. I thank you that everyone has came and everyone has showed their love and their trust in you. Even if they don't know it, just showing up is definitely putting that love in you. I pray that you just, like a river, just like flow over these people with love. That you just fill this room up with love. Because they love you and you love them and they just need to feel your love. They just need to feel your arms wrapped around them. They just need to be filled up. They just need to know that whatever they're doing, it doesn't matter because you love them. That they need to trust in you and they need to abide in you and they need to be more, like, have their goals to be more like you. I just pray that you fill their spirit, that you fill them whole, that you fill them up. I just pray right now that you're just filling them up, and that you're filling them up with your love, that they will never feel empty because your love will be inside of them. That they're accepting you and they're accepting the love you're going to give. And like a river, you're just going to flood into them. Just flood into them and fill them up. Just flood into them. So everyone can put their heads up. And I just want you to repeat again that God loves you as we're singing this next song. I just want you to remember that you are loved by the Almighty King. That you are loved by the greatest lover out there. You'll never get a love as great as this. This is the greatest love. You're so amazing to have this love. This love is all yours. Use it. Have it. Accept it. Just take it. You're allowed to take it. You're not being selfish. This love is for you. Tyler's going to take it away. And just remember, God loves you as you're singing this next song, okay? You don't have to worry about anything. God loves you.